Hello, and welcome back to the Scooter Life podcast with Sarah Blessington. I would like to start off by apologizing for some of the background noise. It is raining. Thank you, Pacific Northwest. And also wanted to go ahead and let y'all know that the last 10 minutes of this episode, I'm going to give a content warning for sexual assault. So if you wish to stay on the lighter side of the Scooter Life podcast, go ahead and just end your listening then. Otherwise, hello, welcome, and let's get to it. So I'm going to bring us back into San Francisco. I'm staying with my friend Alicia in the city, and we had just gotten back from spending the weekend with her family, and she and I had been able to spend some time together just one-on-one and catching up as old friends do, and watching Channing Tatum dance movies and catching up on Game of Thrones. And at some point she's like, you know, Sarah, you can stay here as long as you want, but also you need to go. And just kind of pushed me in the like, what are you waiting for? Beyond just the physicality of not having the rack done, or I was also waiting for this satellite tracker device that was supposed to come while I was still staying with my friend north of the city, which I was hoping to use that in the event that I didn't have cell phone service, I could text from it, and also in the event of emergencies, it would be my my SOS. So I just wanted to have that as a just in case. The added benefit of being able to track my adventure, and my mom could always see where I was or anyone else that was following along. That was all well and good. So I was still waiting for that, as well as finishing the frack. But beyond that, she could tell that there was something else that was kind of just, I don't know, just keeping me from moving. And her and asking that, I'm like, okay, I'll just activate. And I just kind of skipped over it and the feelings that I was having and just kind of hopped into action. And so I scheduled the time to meet up with my friend in Oakland, and he's like, sure, like, come after work and we'll just do the same thing we did last time. We'll work until it's done and we'll get this finished so that you can go on your trip. Like, okay, here we go. So in my previous dealings with San Francisco traffic, I'm like, I don't want to be anywhere close to rush hour if I can help it. So I tried to plan to head onto the bridge to go over to Oakland as much as close to the in-between lunch and the end of work traffic as possible. So I went to Cycle Gear first to pick up this little Bluetooth headset that I was planning on having, that my wonderful scooter mechanic recommended to me for being the best for sound quality. And luckily they had one in stock. And when I went there to pick it up, the guy's like, so do you know how to install this sort of thing? I'm like, well, I'm guessing there's probably some instructions. Like, I'm sure I can figure it out. He's like, it can be a little tricky, and if you'd like, I'd be more than happy to help you install this. I'm like, wow, that's, I'm gonna go ahead and take this help. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And as he's kind of taken apart the inside little cushioning around my chin and neck to be able to run the wiring for the headphones as well as for the mic, in case I wanted to, I don't know, who knows, maybe I would get in cahoots with some other scooter rider on my trip and be able to talk to them or like have a phone call or something like that. So he just showed me how all that works and where the wiring goes, and just also reiterated, is like, you know, so I've got this all installed like this, but just make sure you read the instructions so that you can figure out the syncing part of it, because it's kind of specific. And then if you wanted to like communicate a certain way with your phone and your computer, like, just, you know, make sure to read the manual. It's like, okay. I feel like so often people are like, oh, you don't need instructions. So it was kind of nice to just have this person actually be like, yeah, you can read the instructions, it's okay. Like, okay, cool, thank you. As that was kind of what I was planning on doing, and in Oakland, because I was going to get there a little bit earlier in the trying to beat the traffic. And so I found a little cafe for me to hang out in until my friend was ready for me to come over and finish this rack. So leaving Cycle Gear, I pretty quickly get in this bumper-to-bumper gridlock traffic, because apparently there's this insane construction that has everyone just sort of crawling and creeping on each other, and no one's got any sense of space. And I'm immediately starting to feel this like claustrophobia come over me and just about to eat me whole. And I'm like, absolutely not. This is not happening. No. And then I just kind of go to this other space of, you know what? I'm going to employ my laser death stare, and I'm going to inject it into everyone's cars, even remotely close to me, that they will not come into my lane for fear of spontaneous melting or combustion or who knows what. But, and I mean, sure, that probably had absolutely no effect whatsoever, but it made me feel better. And just of this kind of reminder of like, I really need to claim my space while on the scooter, and just the trying to be like, oh, I'm gonna be sheepish and try not to take up too much room and I'll just be over here. I'm like, no, that is not an option. If you give someone an inch in this particular circumstance with cars, big cars versus tiny scooter, that's not going to end well. So I'm like kind of looking around, seeing if there are any motorcycles else like in this little group of this amoeba that's trying to condense into one lane of oncoming traffic for the on-ramp. And I'm just don't see anything to model after. So I'm just kind of, I feel like I'm like throwing elbows or something around at these other cars, which obviously would have very little effect. And, but somehow I'm able to kind of make a space for myself and no one's driving on top of me. And thankfully, and then we're all finally funneling onto this one ramp, and it's a left lane on ramp. And I'm like, okay, Sarah, you need to keep this energy up. You need to assert your dominance, claim the lane, and go as fast as you possibly can. And so I'm just kind of feel like I'm something out of Mad Max. And looking around the bridge is something straight out of Batman, like the underground or the underbelly of Gotham City. And it's just all metal and dark and kind of gloomy. And I'm in some sort of video game. And I'm hoping that maybe after we just continue in this like congestion bubble, that folks will start to space out a little bit. And then there'll be enough of a gap for me to have spaciousness of like being able to look over my shoulder to make sure I'm not about to get completely clobbered by another car. And just kind of trying to manage this fear of, oh no, people are gonna be beeping at me and mad at me that I'm in the left lane. I'm like, nope, you cannot focus on that. You just gotta claim your lane and you will do whatever safe for you, and that will in turn be safe for everyone else. So I'm kind of in the zone that I barely have enough awareness to notice when the bridge eventually opens up, and there is just this perfect blue sky with these white puffy clouds, and the wind is merely the gentle wind being generated from how fast I'm going. And it was fun. The wind was kind. It was merely just playing with my hair back behind me, and I was loving it. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this what people talk about? It is fun to go fast. I mean, I'm not really going that fast, but fast for tiny little scooter Sarah. And I'm just carrying around, and eventually I'm able to get like at least one lane over, and I'm just kind of in the zone, and I'm feeling my backpack just kind of like slowly kind of slide around my back. I had a computer bag, messenger style, just strapped across my chest. And I had ridden before with it on bicycles, but with bicycles, you can just take your hand off the handlebars and sort of maneuver the bag into a better place on your back. But needing to have definitely both of my hands on the handlebars made it a little bit more difficult to do anything about it. Like, I could feel it slowly starting to scoot down to my side. And I have this thought of, like, oh my gosh, this is, I mean, I have my laptop with me. Is that enough weight to, like, throw me off my game? And I'm like, that's not good. Hopefully that's not the case, or else having this luggage is really not going to be a good thing. And so I'm kind of in my own little world. And then I hear the Harley before I see it, as you do. And this Harley is coming up on the right lane and kind of doing this large swooping motion to get around in front of me. And he sticks his left arm out to the side, straight off from him, and is kind of doing this, like, up and down waving motion, slowly, but something that I would use to indicate to someone else to slow down. And I'm like, I cannot go any slower, because then I will definitely get run over. And I'm like, what is he trying to motion for me? And he's still, like, speeding away from me, and I'm like, God, is there some sort of, like, secret motorcycle handbook that describes all the things that people do? Is this actually some cool new motorcycle wave? Is this guy telling me that I'm awesome? Oh my God, is he telling me that my bag is flying open and about to fall off my body? So I then immediately start freaking out about that. And I'm, like, trying to scoot up closer so that my elbows can maybe, like, scoot around my back and try to adjust it. I'm like, Sarah, the more you focus on this, the more you're definitely going to fall over or lose your bag or something else. I'm like, okay, I think it's attached. Whatever it is, it'll just, it's, if he's telling me that I've lost something, it's already lost and I won't be able to do anything about it. And me trying to do something about it while I'm going 60 miles an hour is definitely not a good idea. So I just kind of make a mental note to try to find the super secret motorcycle hand wave thing when I get to the other side and focus then on just navigating my way to this coffee shop. And when I finally get there, I have this perfect parking space, like, right in front of the cafe, and it's flat and there's a curb and the parking went easy. I looked like I had totally done this before. And felt totally confident. And as I parked my scooter, I realized, like, oh man, I can't leave anything out here. That's just asking for someone to walk away with it. And so I realized, I'm like, okay, so I just have my arms full with my motorcycle jacket and my motorcycle helmet. I'm like, God, is there even really a cool way to carry this? I just look like a bag lady, I guess, carrying everything. And that's just fine. I guess I'm going to be a scooter bag lady. And that's, I'm just gonna have to own that. So I go into the cafe and there's just all these kind of very hipstery looking folks out there with their laptops writing their screenplays or whatever. And I come in and I'm just making all sorts of racket, like my helmet tries to fall off the table. And so even just the Velcro from my bag, trying to open it up to take out my laptop, I'm just making quite the spectacle of myself. And so I'm just sort of battling this, like, self-conscious nature of, like, wow, like, I don't know how to be here. And even just going up and getting my coffee from the lady working the barista, and she's like, oh, what are you up to? I'm like, oh, just out for a little scooter ride. She's like, okay. Just didn't really take much sand in what I was doing, I guess, or just didn't really care. And I just kind of tried to remind myself, like, I have enough and just as much reason to be here as anyone else here. And I figured that I would probably need to remind myself of that many more times to come on this trip. And just kind of to continue that same, like, assert your dominance, like, maintain your lane sort of thing from the road onto wherever I was going. And that this bright pink motorcycle jacket was just gonna be a part of me. And that was that. So I sat there and plugged in my little Bluetooth headset thing to try to sync it up to my laptop. And as I'm playing around with it, I noticed that the light didn't change at all when I plugged it into my laptop. And from everything that I had read from the instruction manual, it was like, it changes to look like this when you're charging. And I'm like, well, maybe because it's syncing, it doesn't need to change. I made a loose mental note to keep an eye on that, and was kind of more so quickly to chalk it up to just the like, I just don't know what's happening, and I just haven't learned about it, or maybe haven't read that part of the instruction manual yet. Like, it's probably not anything. And got it to sync up to my phone, and they're like, you know, make sure to charge it fully before using it. It's like, okay, I can do that. So I wouldn't have it for the trip back over the bridge, but I figured I've already made this journey. Like, I've got a pretty good idea of how to make it back. So I'm then tooling around on my computer, trying to write a blog post and like update some of the motorcycle forums, let folks know what's happening. And then I get a text from my friend being like, all right, like, we're all finishing up here at work. And if you want to come on down, some folks want to see the scooter. They don't believe you're real. So I'm like, all right, like, I can come over and scoot on over. And these folks are like, so you're the crazy scooter girl? Yep, that's me. And I mean, everyone was just so sweet and supportive. They're like, this is crazy and amazing, and we're so excited to know that this is being created here in this workshop. And Eli is just so kind, and we immediately start getting to work and lining everything up, because now we've got the scooter to work on to actually like make sure the rack fits and like make these final welds. And as we're getting started with that, he stops and is like, so did you figure out how you're carrying gas? And I'm like, oh, right. No. He's like, well, we should run over to the hardware store before they close and see what they have. It's like, okay, cool, let's do that. So we go over there and get there like right before they close. Sorry, retail people. Thank you so much for being so kind to us and showing me where we needed to go. And get directed over to the gas cans, and they have like a single gallon gas can and then a 5 gallon gas can, and they're those little kind of rectangular red plastic containers. And that 5 gallon is big, is definitely something that I just immediately am thinking of, like, this is going to be so heavy. And just imagining like all that liquid sloshing around, and then it's kind of like a little traveling bomb of sorts on my person. And then I start thinking of like Bugs Bunny cartoons or the Roadrunner, and just like all the unnecessary explosions happening all the time for kind of like no reason whatsoever. And I'm like, oh my god, is that gonna be nope, I'm not going there. There's no exploding. I am not exploding. I'm gonna get the gas can. I'm gonna get the tiny gas can. That seems safe. That seems better. That'll be fine. He's like, well, do you want to get two and put them on like either side? I'm like, no, I think just the one is gonna be fine. Hopefully, I mean, I don't really have a lot of intention of like being out completely by myself in the middle of nowhere. I guess at that particular moment in time, I'm just kind of forgetting that Texas is a thing. or really just like the central portion of the U.S., but that's neither here nor there. So we get the single gallon gas tank and head back and just get back to work. And again, I'm just so grateful that he was willing to put his all into this. And I mean, it was so much fun. And this thing crafting before our eyes, and it's pretty and it's functional and it's like just this incredibly seamless design, and it's strong. And so again, another like 6+ hours going into the night, and it's a, you know, getting later. And at one point, like, I'm realizing that, okay, so I'm definitely going to be riding back over this bridge at nighttime. And it then, for some reason, was finally the time that occurred to me that I did not have insurance yet for the scooter. That I had just kind of gotten like stuck in the, okay, well, I'm not registering it yet, and don't really have the license. I was still so much in that gray area that I just kind of forgot that I would need this. So I'm like, hold on, Eli. Like, he's like, don't worry. Like, I can do this by myself for a little bit. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go get insurance. So I go outside and I'm kind of walking around the little compound area and am trying to figure out if I can get it on my phone. And I'm like, oh, is this motorcycle insurance? Like, what do I even need for a scooter? I'm like, let me just call. So I call my old insurance because I hadn't even had car insurance in my name for like over 3 years at this point. And immediately get connected with this incredibly kind woman. And it just delighted me to hear her southern accent, like, right off the bat. And I find out she's from Atlanta, and I tell her about that I'm from North Carolina, and we start talking about barbecue. And eventually, like, oh, right, okay, the insurance thing. But I just immediately feel like she's just, like, in my corner and ready to support me. So we're kind of sorting through things, and you know, I'm just like, well, I'm going to ride this scooter across the country. So what now? Does your mother know about this? Like, yes, my mother knows about this. Like, it's okay. Like, I've got everything I need. Like, I'm going to be safe and it'll be fine. Which was just so sweet. And I'm also like, so I'm going to have, like, all of my belongings with me. Can you help me figure out what kind of policy I need to protect myself? In that way, like, if my stuff gets stolen, or, you know, is there anything I can do? And so she just starts talking me through all these different options. And at some point I'm like, it occurs to me, does it matter that this isn't registered in my name? Or so I'm a little nervous also of, like, telling the insurance agent that I'm kind of being sketchy. And so I decide that our southern roots would bind us together, and she would not, you know, be mean to me or whatever. And so I tell her, or ask the question, I'm like, you know, does this matter? And she's like, you know, like, you, if you wanted to, you could insure somebody else's car. Like, it doesn't, like, if this scooter has your name on the registration, you've got the VIN number, like, this is as much yours as we need to know. I'm like, okay, cool, like, that works. At least I've done one thing that's totally, like, down the straight and narrow and by the book. And so I get my policy, go back in there, and we're putting on the final touches, and we're almost ready to go, and I look over and I see the gas can, and we had yet to figure out how to put that on there. But I mean, we both were just so tired at this point and had just been working for forever. And finally, like, the rack was done. Like, we were able to put the bags on there, and it just was all, like, it was just perfect. All the little nuances were there. And so he's kind of like shutting down the shop, and I'm like, I don't really want to say anything, but we forgot the gas can. And he's like, don't worry, it's okay, we're gonna figure this out. And it was just like this perfect, I mean, he just walked around the shop for a second, picked out these two pieces of metal, and just, he was able to create this vision right away, and just had to bent the each one of the pieces of metal in just so such a way where I'd be able to put the gas can, like, put part of it, the, like, the handle over one of them, and then I could be able to cam strap it pretty securely to this piece of metal, or to these pieces of metal, so that it wouldn't, like, slide or fall off. And then he welded that onto the pre-existing rack, and he's like, you know, like, this isn't, like, don't grab the scooter from this, but everything else should be, like, super safe and super strong. Like, this is a strong piece of metal, but I just wouldn't trust it as much as everything else that we've done. It's like, that's more than enough. Like, I'm so grateful. He's like, all right, well, I'm gonna close up. And I'm like, I need to drive it nighttime over this bridge. So I need to go. And, you know, at this point, like, now being around midnight, like, the only other folks that are probably going to be out, well, it's maybe not a weekend, but there's still probably going to be people that are going to or from bars. And I was trying not to make myself freak out about that, but acknowledging that that was very much a possibility, or it's in the field. So I'm kind of lost thinking about that and trying not to freak out about that, and take my scooter out into like the little compound area before getting into the street. And I put down or think that I put down the side kickstand and I'm going to lean it over. And I had this small little bird of a thought come up to me being like, it's not down all the way. And I just didn't listen to it. I'm like, no, it's fine. It's just a very low hanging kickstand. Like, it just has a little bit more. Oh my God. And immediately I realized that the scooter is going down. That I just, maybe, I don't know if I didn't put it out all the way. Maybe it got caught on a little rock. I am standing on this like gravelly, muddy kind of thing. So I just have my left hand pretty firmly on the handlebar, but my right hand is just kind of like trying to find a place to grab on the side of the scooter. And I'm like thrusting my body weight up against the scooter to try to counteract the 200 something pounds that are coming towards me, almost 300 pounds. And I realize I'm like, okay, well, this is the time to figure out if these welds really did the thing. So I'm then move my hand somehow to grab onto the scooter rack, and I'm just basically holding it at the, like, what felt like the heaviest part of the scooter, and just am suspending it with as best as I can, but my arms are starting to shake and my lower back is starting to scream, and I'm trying so hard to push and pull this thing back up into the upright and scootable position, and I'm not getting anywhere. My body is so strained that I don't know if I have anything else in me, and I am hoping so much that it's only because I'm this tired and that I would be able to pull out some other secret hidden strength of a mom being able to lift a car off of a baby or something in when I need it, and maybe I would need it now. And I'm like, I wonder if my friend can hear me, and the doors were closed, and I'm like, do I even ask for help? Like, I don't. I've already asked him to add this other gas can thing and this whole thing just in general, and just fighting with this judgment of like, I can't believe that I can't pick this up. And I'm like, I'm totally screwed. And so I'm just in this total mind jumble. And eventually I'm like, Sarah, shut up. Ask for help. So this like little peep comes out of like, hello, hello, help. And somehow, I mean, eventually I just will myself to be louder, because I realize there is nobody else out here. Except for Eli. He is the only person that can help me at this time. And I need it. And somehow he heard me. And he came out and helped me lift the scooter back up. And he's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm okay. I'm okay. Everything's fine. I'm fine. Everything's great. I'm gonna go. You, thank you so much. Have a great night. I will see you when I see you. And send him back inside and double check to make sure that the kickstand is down before leaving the scooter back up on it, and then just kind of shake for a little bit, and I try to get it out of my system, and I'm like, okay, that was terrifying. This is really heavy. This is what like almost 300 pounds feels like, and okay, we're not ever gonna drop the scooter. It's not happening. There's no dropping of the scooter. Scooter's not falling over. Scooter's only staying upright. And I tried as best as I could to just hope that that would forever be the truth. And so, I get some cash for the bridge and put it in my pocket and, put on my gloves and my gear. And I'm like, all right, well, here we go. And as I turn on the scooter, I realize that the headlamp from coming from the headlamp is barely like casting a glow for like 15 feet in front of the scooter. It was worse than a flashlight. And like, this is not safe. This is not good. But I'm in a warehouse and I need to get back to where I'm staying for the night. And my plan was to leave the next day, that I would drive up to my friend's house and pick up the pick up the satellite tracker. So I'm like, I need to get back. So I just kind of hope that the lights from the city will just do whatever they need to do, and that my bright pink motorcycle jacket will do whatever it needs to do, and that we're just going to make it happen. So I leave the warehouse, and I am just kind of driving around this warehousey neighborhood, and there's no one really there except for some folks that are looking like maybe they're not up to so much good. And I kind of get this feeling in the pit of my stomach beyond the fact that I'm freaked out about everything else. And I get up to this light, waiting to be able to take a left onto this other street. And I see this one particular guy notice me, and he starts to walk towards me. And I can hear that he's saying something. And I'm just kind of like, if I just pretend he's not there, maybe he'll think that I can't hear him because of my helmet, maybe. And it just really started to hit me, the difference of being so exposed, of not having a car door and locks and a window and just something between me and whatever else is out there. And as he started to get closer, I'm like, oh my gosh, do I run this light? What do I do? Do I turn around? Breaking the law? This guy is definitely getting closer to me. What do I do? And I decide to just wait, that everything will be fine. And luckily, as the guy steps off the sidewalk and starts getting really close to me, the light turns green and I'm able to take that left. And as I'm driving away, I'm thinking to myself, okay, Sarah, you're a single woman traveling alone in an exposed way, that you may need to make decisions that might not feel great. I generally want to be a helpful person. If this person was coming up to me to ask for help, I would like to be able to help them, but my safety comes first, and I didn't feel safe. And so I thought, okay, if I were to do this over again, I would run the light, and I would just have to deal with whatever the consequences of getting pulled over or whatever else would happen afterwards, and that would be worth it. So I'm now headed up to the toll booth, and I've already got that money prepped in my pocket. So I get up there and kind of just straddling the scooter on either side and keeping it up, and reach into my pocket to grab the money. And I look up to the lady that's in the toll booth, and she's looking at me like, what is this? And she says hello, and asks me how I'm doing. I'm like, I'm doing just fine, thanks. And she takes my money, and as I'm fiddling around in my pocket, I thought that I almost lost my motorcycle permit, and realized immediately that that is a terrible place to be putting anything that I'm digging in and out of. And I was trying to do it with my gloves still on, and also note to self that that was not the best idea. So just kind of funny just watching this woman do three different double takes just of the what are you, and get my change back and wave her on, and she wishes me a safe journey for the night. And so I'm getting onto the bridge, and I am able to safely get over to the right lane. And while there aren't a whole bunch of people on the bridge with me, everyone is going 80 plus miles an hour. And I just am kind of in this weird suspended reality of, is this even real? Is this the end? And I start sort of praying or whatever to the scooter gods of old. And I'm like, please, 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 do not let this be the end for me. This would be such a lame way to go, not even ready yet on this journey and just taken out on this damn bridge. This cannot be the end, I swear. And I start going into bargaining and I'm like, I will never, ever, ever ride at night, ever, ever again, unless my life depends on it. I swear, please don't let me die. And who knows if it was the bargaining or if maybe people did see me. I mean, it certainly didn't feel like anyone was acknowledging my existence on that road, but I and everyone else were able to make it over the bridge safely. And I mean, the nice thing about the bridge is it was really pretty well lit. And after traveling off the bridge, it got a little less well lit, but being a city, there were still some streetlights about, so I wasn't too hard for me to be able to navigate for as far as being able to see, but I just tried to stick to streets that had very little cars on them to try to just not have to interact with them as much as possible. So eventually make it back to my friend's house, park my scooter, get into her house, dump all of my scooter stuff at the bottom of her stairs, and try to make it back up there without waking up all of her roommates, and just kind of crash out for the night. And so the next day, the plan was, the UPS folks were like, yes, we can secure that your package will be here between blah and blah hour. So I was thinking that I would be able to borrow my friend's car, go up there in the morning, grab the package, come back, pack, and leave. And I'm not really sure what planet I was operating on thinking that I would be able to pack in short amount of time, but that's neither here nor there. So I'm like, okay, like, I'll get the satellite thing, come back, it'll be fine. I figured, you know, just having that plan will make things work and that'll just be great. So head up there to north of the city in the morning and get to my friend's house, and her partner are off at work. So I just pretty much have the house to myself. And as I'm waiting and just kind of like fiddling around with whatever's on Netflix and just kind of looking around on my phone and waiting for the notification or hearing the UPS driver pull up, and I decide to call and I'm like, hey, so this was supposed to be here this morning, is there any way for you to track the driver and see if this is actually going to be able to arrive to me on time? And they're like, well, unfortunately, we are down a driver today, so our schedules are off, and unfortunately, we can't guarantee that time, but it will be to you by 4 o'clock. I'm like, 4? Oh, God. Like, that's just prime traffic, and the thought of having to leave the scooter after that, like, in rush hour traffic, which ends finally maybe when it's dark outside, I'm like, oh, this is just not gonna work. And luckily, the people that I was gonna stay with at first were able to offer some flexibility in their schedules. So I call my girlfriend who's down south and I'm like, hey, I'm so sorry for having to change the plans on you last minute, but this satellite tracker is not going to get here at any reasonable time today for me to be able to, like, get out of here. Can we please just push everything back a day? And she's like, totally fine. That's great. We've got tasty treats for us for dinner and some wine. So whenever you get here, it'll be fine. And she's of the traveling variety. So she knows how things go and was just able to be the great first person that she was for me to visit on this journey. And the following folks that I was going to stay with are also of the traveling breed and were also able to just kind of adopt me into their schedule, which was so wonderful. So that kind of started to, or at least that pressure came off my shoulders. But as I was sitting there looking around on my phone, I just kind of felt this cloud still hovering over me. And this was during the time of when the internet was just kind of inundated with all of the information coming forth with the Brock Turner rape case. And I was reading all of the reports and finally reading the woman's words herself describing the aftermath of what happened to her, and it just cut me. When I was 18 and living in San Francisco, I was raped. And 18-year-old me did not have nearly as much support as 26-year-old Sarah had sitting there on that couch. But as I just started to fall and feel the world crushing around me, and just was huddled up in this little ball, and I needed something, but I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know who to call, and it just felt like everything was crushing around me. And I look down at my phone as it starts to ring, and it's my brother. And I have this sort of split-second thought looking at the phone of, do I pick up? Do I not pick up? I'm like, I have to pick up. And as we have become adults, we've been making more efforts to just grow our friendship and be cool humans to each other, and share about what has happened in our lives. But this is something that I had not shared with him at this point. And so I was just kind of like, you know, I'm not going to go there right now. I'm just going to wipe these tears off my cheek and clear my throat and just answer the phone like, this is not happening right now. And so I pick up the phone and just start chatting about, oh, yeah, well, I've had a little bit of a delay and I'm now going to leave tomorrow and everything's fine. Everything's great. And something in him was able to pick up that something was not right with me. And he wanted to know what it was. And I paused as I felt the tears start to come back and catch in the back of my throat. As I said to him, I don't know if you want to know this about me. And he responded to me with just this amazing outpouring of love and support, being, whatever this is, I am here for you, and you can tell me. And so I did. And I cried, and he listened, and he held space for me as I shared everything that was coming up for me, reading these articles, reading the words from this woman, and feeling that in some ways I was still that 18-year-old me, and that this decision that someone else made without my consent was in some ways still happening to me. And that as I spoke to my brother, that he was able to say all of the things that I so wish someone was able to tell 18-year-old me. And I'm so grateful that I finally got to hear those things. And me being able to hear those things was in some way able for me to put a close to that chapter of suffering in silence, and at least knowing that this one person would not judge me, would not let this affect their love for me, and that this fear that I had that with him knowing or anyone knowing that this had happened to me would somehow remove this sweet, innocent kind of cloaking device I've used of that no one could see me if that's all they saw. That they would be able to treat me the same way that they always had if they didn't know this. And I needed to share it. And in sharing that with him, he pushed back with the question of, Sarah, do you really need to do this? Is this really the best thing for you to do? And if the answer is no, that's okay. We will take care of you. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It's okay. If this is too much for you to do, that's okay. And I told him I would really take this into consideration, and I would take this space and time to wait for this package, to really think about it and to really let it sit with me. If this fear that I had that this could potentially happen again, if that was enough to mean that I needed to not do this trip. And we ended the phone call, and again reminding me how much he loves me and how much he's here to support me. And I moved to the front stoop of my friend's house and let the sun warm over my body, let it dry the tears on my cheeks. And before I knew it, here comes the UPS man with the package. And as he handed me my emergency device, I realized my own private irony that I somehow had installed in me my own internal SOS emergency system to go out to the people that I need when I need it most. And that was enough for me, that I felt confident in myself that I would be able to leave this thing that had happened to me in San Francisco, and that going forward, I had everything I needed to be safe, to be strong, and to give this scooter life adventure one heck of a run for its money. So thank you all for listening. Next week, we'll actually talk about going and starting this journey, and I hope you'll join me then. Until then, take care.